All right, we're going to bring out the surveys. And these are just real quick four-question surveys, and we have pens and everything for you. And why don't we pass the surveys that way, and that'll let our beautiful and handsome ushers to collect them easily. And the reason we do this is because of mission. So we want to reach new people. And if you measure things, it's easy to work on them, but it's hard to work on things if you don't measure. So we try to measure things simply and try to be realistic about what we have and where we're headed. That's it. After you filled out, just pass them all this way. And if you want to give any money with it, that's fine too for the project tonight. And yeah. I want to give the money to Paul here. And would you grab all the money that comes in and then count that plus what's in the envelope and then... And then we'll be ready for our friend when he gets here. I can't wait either. Jack and Doe's. Jack and Doe's is on the way. Why don't we pray right now? Lord God, we don't know who's coming. Father God, we know that they matter immensely to you. This is someone you love and who you died for, Father God. Lord, I just pray that... Lord, we know that this is just a holy stunt, but Father God, I just pray that the real message would be communicated, that they are valuable, Lord, and that they matter to you. And Lord God, help us to see people in the value like you do. You would die for people, Lord. Lord, give us a heart like yours for everyone that we know. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, well, we are going to be in the Gospel of Luke tonight. If you'd like to follow along, I will have the words on the screen. Some people like to follow in their own Bible. I'll be in Luke chapter 23. And Noah, Luke chapter 23. I repeat things because some people need things repeated. I repeat things because some people need things repeated. We are finishing up our series today, A Famous Last Words. So in this time of Lent and preparation for Easter, we're getting ready to remember what Jesus did for us and prepare ourselves for that. And we're looking at famous last words that Jesus said in his last day or two, his last few days before he went to the cross. And the last 3 weeks have all been words while he was actually on the cross. And today is no different. Today we'll look at when he turned to one of the thieves who were on the cross and he said, "You will be with me in paradise." Now, literally what that means was there was a criminal, someone who had a death sentence hanging beside Jesus. He might have even had that view. Look at that artwork there. He was beside Jesus on his left or his right, and he was sentenced to death because he was bad. Okay? And if this in fact is true, if when Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise, and I believe Jesus," that means that this guy was probably pretty bad, but something happened, and this guy had what we would call today a deathbed conversion. He was converted shortly before he died. And some people believe in those. Some people do not believe in those things. It's kind of a sticky situation, actually, no matter which way you look at it. See, if you say deathbed conversions or end-of-life conversions are not real or not genuine or they're not possible, see, then you're damaging grace because then you're saying, okay, someone was bad their whole life. They got to the end of life, and then they truly chose Jesus. But there's just no way you can just be bad your whole life and then in the last 5 minutes then just decide you want to go to heaven. But see, that damages grace a little bit, because that's like, well, didn't Jesus pay for your sins? So then you're sort of saying you sort of have to earn it, which goes against the gospel. But if you go the other way, it's also you're also kind of stuck. If you say, yeah, you can, people can be converted in their last few hours or last 5 minutes of life. See, then you're saying, well, what you're saying is someone can be really bad their whole life, and in their last 5 minutes, they can just say, I'm sorry, God, and I want to go to heaven, and then all the bad stuff they did doesn't matter. Like if this guy killed 10 people, God's just going to let him off the hook. That's not fair. And so we're going to, that sounds really hard to me, so I'm glad it's in the Bible. We're going to look at it today and say, man, Jesus told this guy that he would be with him in paradise. So let's jump into that now. We're going to be in Luke chapter 23. And also, one more thing before we jump in. If someone could have a deathbed conversion, how can you know if it's genuine? How can you know if it's real? You might not know, but God does. Is there any evidence? So for example, my grandma just died yesterday, and she was on her deathbed for a few years, for maybe 2 or 3 years. And so I went and tried to witness to her, and she says some stuff, and I say some stuff, but man, is it real? Is it real? And do you have any friends who, it's like, man, is there ever any chance? Is there ever any chance? Well, let's look what happens here between the thief on the cross and Jesus. The background is this. Jesus is now hanging on the cross with the two thieves. And right before this happens here, they're just recently hanged. And people stood by watching, but the rulers, they scoffed at him. They said, he saved himself, let him save others. Or he saved others, let him save himself if he is actually the Christ. Huh. And the soldiers mocked him. And they said, if you're really the King of Jews, save yourself. And so what's happening is, unlike the movie, he probably was not hanging 15 feet in the air. His toes were probably about 2 or 3 feet off the ground. So when you walk down the road, you could easily say whatever you wanted to this criminal that was dying. And we see that the chief priests were there, the scribes, the soldiers, people passing by, and they were all mocking and railing at Jesus. And then this is what happens. Now one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The cool thing about this is, what we know from the other Gospels, from Matthew and Mark, is that initially both of the thieves that were hanging beside Jesus, they initially both railed at him. This guy who defended also, he also was making fun of Jesus. Save us too, save us too. And he was maybe making fun of him being called the Son of God. And while other people were mocking him, it was probably easy to join in. Were the two criminals partners? I don't know. But apparently, they were both thieves and being crucified at the same time, there's a good chance they knew each other. One thing in Rome was, if you were a thief and you got caught, the standard punishment was not to be crucified. So this guy was probably a little worse than just a thief. If you got caught stealing in Rome, what you'd have to do is you'd have to pay back what you stole plus a pretty exorbitant amount of punishment payment. If you couldn't afford that, you would become a servant until you could pay it off. Sometimes they would cut off a finger or a hand or just put someone in jail. Okay? But if your crime was heinous, if your crime was bad, they would crucify you to make an example out of you. So if you read the gospel accounts where Jesus is about to be crucified, you see how carefully Pilate examined Jesus before he had him crucified. So you know, this guy probably went through something similar. And Pilate knew what this guy did and how bad he was and that he deserved a higher punishment. Okay? This is not some guy the stolen apple because he was hungry. Okay? This guy, he's probably the guy that calls up your grandma on the phone and has a scheme and takes all of her money and just leaves her. This guy is probably scum. Or if they were working together, they probably attacked a caravan. That was common back then. You always had caravans, you always had guards with you because people would be attacked on the road, and it took teams of two or more thieves to do that. And when a caravan gets attacked, usually people get hurt. So this guy is bad news. Okay? And it starts off, he's railing against Jesus just like the other one is. But something happens to where eventually Jesus says, you're going to be with me in paradise. And so it seems like he might have actually repented. So what did that look like? Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. First thing is, he separated himself from his friend. Notice how his friend assumed to speak for both of them. He said, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Okay? Maybe because they were friends, or maybe just because both thieves were railing at Jesus together earlier. We don't know. But immediately, this second criminal who has a change of heart, he separates himself from the other guy, and he says, he rebukes him. He says, man, don't you fear God? Think about what you're doing. You are literally hanging on a cross. You are in the middle of a death sentence. Don't you fear God? Get real, man. You're still making fun of people. See, just a moment ago, this guy was joining in with the crowd, but now he's taken the harder road. He chose the side of Jesus, who is receiving all of the, well, receiving all the grief and receiving all of the punishment and people making fun of him. So he chose the side of the guy who people are making fun of. Next, he actually, I mean, it's like a church service. He actually admits his guilt. He says, listen, we're getting what we deserve. We're bad. We did bad, and we're getting the punishment that was due to us. And it's sort of like when someone repents, they turn around and they say, oh my gosh, I have done wrong, and I do deserve a punishment. And then, literally, like Billy Graham was standing right there next to him, he's like, Jesus, he starts trusting in Jesus. Jesus, I don't know how it works, whatever, but I need your help. I need you, Jesus. Would you remember me? He believes that Jesus may actually have a kingdom, and he wants his help. Wonder what transpired in this guy's mind. He's hanging on a cross, the last few hours of his life, probably. I can imagine anyone, they probably think about a lot of things. What really mattered? Was it foolish? Am I dying for something silly? Where am I going to go after I die? And it seems like he had a change of heart. So at this point, we run into the argument where it's like, if Jesus said, you're going to be with me in paradise, it's like, is that really fair? Can this guy be a thief, maybe a bad thief, maybe a heinous one his whole life, and in his last few hours on the cross, can he just change his mind and be saved? Because that doesn't sound fair. Well, the truth is, it's not fair. It's just not fair. Fair has nothing to do with it. So a common example I like to use is, has anyone in here ever told a lie? Anyone? Everyone? Right. So the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Like, seriously, Lord? That's pretty serious. But God says, because you break my laws, I have to see the justice gets done. And so it's like if he let us off, and we're happy about it, and we let Jesus pay for our sins, then who are we, who am I, to judge this guy who might have done more than me or less than me? I don't know. But he was a sinner just like I was. And so literally, Jesus cared about every person so much, no matter what they did, if it was a lie or a life of crime, that he's willing to take whatever the amount of punishment it is for that. I think it's kind of cool that Jesus is right here, and he's like, Jesus is about to just pay for all the sins of the world. The criminals are there hanging beside him, right? And it's almost like he's almost so eager to bring the kingdom of God to heaven. He's like, okay, I'm going to get one even before I go. I'm going to get one more convert right before I die, right? I think it'd be a great honor of my life if someday, hopefully a long time from now, I don't know, I'm laying in a hospital bed and it's like my last few hours, and whatever I can have with a conversation with the guy next to me, if whatever transpires, that I can say, hey, buddy, I'll see you in a few hours, right? That he gets saved and I can say, man, something real just happened and I really will see you soon in heaven. Man, how awesome would that be? So no, it's not really about fair. Jesus is literally going after every person he can. It's sort of like, Scotty, I saw the bad things you did. Okay, and then I repent. He says, okay, Lord, give me his punishment. Okay, then if you repent, it's like, okay, Lord, Bob just repented. Give his punishment to me. Okay, now give me that one. Okay, now give me that. Okay, now the thief on the cross, he's actually repenting. Lord, give me his punishment too. And he is completely cleared. The thief on the cross, his sins are paid. And that's how much Jesus values, no matter what the punishment is, no matter how bad they were, Jesus was pay for their crimes. One thing is, if we're going to come, if we're going to be here at the lake and start a new church and reach out to people and we want to take Jesus to everyone, and that's our mission, is to spread the gospel and see people get saved and see people come to know the Lord, God says that he will use people who have a heart like him. The famous example is when he dethroned Saul and he put King David in his place and he said, here is a man after my own heart who will do all my will. And part of our mission is to come up here, is to be in the community and to have a heart like God. Every person we see, we think about them like God thinks about them, like they are so important that Jesus would say, whatever that person did, I'll take the punishment for that. Lord God, I care about him so much, I care about her so much, that we have a heart like God and we care about people like he does. And if we do that, God says, my will be accomplished through people like that. I thought even just this week, I was talking with someone and they asked about another person that I know up here at the lake. And I caught myself kind of gossiping about him. I was like, what am I doing? Like, it's someone, even though I felt like they wronged me, I guess I was just complaining. I felt, oh, Lord, what am I doing? It's like, that's like the exact opposite of what I'm here to do. Jesus said, when he said, love your enemies, that's not like, just be nice to everyone. Literally, love your enemies. I saw a video this morning about a guy who lives in Bethlehem today. Okay, Bethlehem, which is Palestinian controlled. Okay, but he's a Christian. And he's like, it's just like in Jesus' day when Rome occupied the land and Jesus said, love your enemies. He's like, literally, there are guys, soldiers with guns in my town, and they belong to a nation that I don't belong to. Okay, and Jesus tells me to actually love them, not just be nice to them, not just follow their rules, to love them, to somehow go up and find a way to bless them and say, man, I care about you because I'm a Christian and God cares about you that much, and to somehow find a way to reach out and actually love them. So the good news is, truly, truly, that means that there is hope until the very last breath, no matter what has transpired before, no matter what happened earlier in their life, no matter if they were a criminal or someone terrible or if they were mean to you and they were your enemy in school or at work or whatever, all the way until their last breath, there's hope for that person. But it won't just happen automatically. God does his best work through people. And so maybe God might be calling us to love the people that are hardest to love. Maybe he might be calling you to reach out to someone and love them in a new way. Not just tolerate them like a soldier, but just say, hey, you know, I know we're not on the same team sometimes, but man, I don't know what's going on, and I'm sorry with this friction between us, but I want to be good to you, and I want to take care of you. What can I do for you? How can I be a friend to you? How can we put this behind us and just reach out? So let's say someone does. They're on their deathbed, or they're at the end of life, or they've just been a jerk their whole life, okay? And they get near the end, and they say that they've converted. Okay, they say that they want God now. What might be some evidence that that's true? Like, if I were witnessing to my grandma, it's like, how do I know if I should, like, keep trying or if I should celebrate with her? Like, is there any evidence? Because maybe only, you know, God, like, God is the only one that knows their heart for real. Is there any evidence that I could look for? Number one is, right away, choosing Jesus means taking sides. It just always does. Even if it was 50 years ago in the heyday of Christianity in America and it was like so easy just to say you're a Christian and people just believe you because you look just like everyone else, even then you're going to have your own temptations. So no matter where you're at or who you are, it's always going to mean taking sides. One of my favorite preachers that I love to listen to, his name is Matt Chandler out of Texas. And I love his story because he says, the beginning of him becoming a Christian started in the boys' locker room. And I'm thinking, nothing good ever starts in the boys' locker room, okay? It's just a whole nother environment. When I was a freshman basketball player, okay, it's like freshmen and like upperclassmen, there's like this thing. So anyway, these two guys are coming out of the shower, and the one guy's like, tell them what I did to you. The other guy's like, he peed on me. I mean, that's the boys' locker room, okay? So nothing good. So as soon as he said his Christian story started in the locker room, I was like, okay, this should be good. Basically, he, coming in as a freshman, Pastor Matt, now Pastor Matt, he was just an unbeliever then, had a locker next to an upperclassman, intimidating. So he goes to get his gear one day, and the upperclassman's right beside him, and he's there too. And he said, Matt, he said, listen, I need to tell you about Jesus Christ. You want to do that here or somewhere else? And he's like, I don't really want to hear about Jesus Christ, but I just respected the man's boldness. I said, okay, somewhere else. I don't know. And so he started going to youth group with this upperclassman, and really he was just putting up with it. He was just, because that guy was bold and he sort of respected him a little bit, he was just hanging out for a little while. And he's like, literally, this is what I did. I showed up, and anything that the speaker said, I just thought in my mind just how wrong he is about every single thing. And I just kept doing this for like 4 or 5 weeks. And they just kept inviting me back and giving me cookies and giving me rides to the youth group and stuff. He's like, and the next week, he's like, I don't know what happened. It was like Fruit Loops. All of a sudden, I wanted God. And God didn't answer any of the problems that I thought there were. He didn't change any of the burning desires in me. It's just, I knew that I needed a Savior, that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior and I just wanted God. And none of the other little arguments I had even mattered. Okay, fast forward 10 years. This guy, Matt, grows up, he's in his 20s, gets brain cancer. Okay? Starts going through all the tests and all the doctors. They literally open up his head and literally take some of his brain out. Okay? And he's like, and all through that time, it's like, chances are I'm probably going to die. It's like I'm hanging on the cross right now. And now he even looks back and he's like, man, what a good time that was. Because I knew if I'm going to die, there is no reason to ever compromise my Lord for any reason. I am all in for you, Jesus. I've got nothing to lose by just giving you my all, Lord God. So he was just all in and just completely took the side of God. And God says, that is someone who has a heart like me and I can use them greatly. And he made Matt into a youth group leader, just like in the same place he got saved. And the youth group just exploded. It became almost as big as the rest of the church. And then he became a senior pastor. And he's like, I'm not a very good preacher. He's like, get better. They said, just get better. God's using you. And so he just worked on it, and now he's got this huge church in Texas. They're planting churches all over the United States. They take teams out of Texas and say, okay, we're going to plant a church in Maryland. Who's going to sell their house and quit their job and move with me to Maryland? And that's what they do. I think we have a delivery here. Right on. Thank you. What's the number? Awesome. Hey, perfect timing. Thank you. We're just about to take a break. That's perfect. Awesome. Okay. How much was it? 80, and you can keep that. But what we did was we said that we're having our little church here, and we thought, you know what would be cool is no matter who God sends, we just want to bless them, and we're talking about how much God loves every person no matter who they are. And so we said, we're just going to take up a collection for whoever brings the pizza tonight, and whatever came in, we're just going to give that to you as a tip, and we have $235.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Happy Easter. Hey, Rodden. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. Is there anything we can pray for you about before you go? I know you got to get back to work. Okay. Okay. Pray for your daughter? Okay, anything specific, or if you don't want to, it's okay. Okay. All right, we will.
Make sure she stays healthy.
Okay. Okay, sure. Okay, thank you. Actually, we're getting close to the end, so let's just finish, then we'll dig in the pizzas. I was just going to like start passing them out like you're at a movie, like eating popcorn. We'll just keep going. Oh, yeah. Can we pray for your daughter right now? Would you mind? Is that a cool? Okay. You were awesome. What's your name?
My name's Kristen.
Kristen? Okay.
Can I come stand with you?
Yeah.
All right. Like my favorite pizza person today.
Angie, would you want to pray?
Kristen, God loves you, loves your daughter, loves your family. And he just says how much he loves you, no matter what life brings, no matter what kind of things you're going through. You're never alone. He is with you, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will protect her daughter. Keep her healthy, Lord. Just meet all of their needs in a miraculous way. Help them to just know your presence in their lives, and without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, in their minds that you are ever present and ever loving. Lord, in the difficult times, surround them with people that can encourage them and love them, and in the times of rejoicing, that they know where that joy can be found and that hope can be found. Father God, thank you for bringing this special person into our lives today, and thank you that she's working so hard for her family, and thank you, Lord, for your love for her, for the very unique love just for her. I pray that it just washes over her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. She's already in tears? Aw. Okay, okay. Aw. So if you want to continue praying for her, her name's Kristen. She has a daughter. She didn't look very old, so... probably working hard to take care of her daughter. Awesome. Well, I just pray that whoever the Lord sent, it would just be his person today. So that's cool. 235, that's awesome. That's so awesome, guys. Amen. 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 last thing, and then we'll close. So deathbed conversion, when people really do choose the Lord at the end, one is they take sides. The guy said, you know what? I cannot go with you any longer. You're making fun of the Lord. You want to do your own thing? No, I choose Jesus. And he rebuked his friend and said, man, we're getting what we deserve. Lord Jesus, I choose you. Would you remember me? You're just my only hope, Father God. The other thing is this. Man, check out this crazy difference between the first criminal and the second criminal. So the first criminal, who's only thinking about himself, okay, tough guy probably. He's like, oh, are you really the Christ? Save yourself and us. Okay, it's almost like opportunistic. Man, I hope you do save yourself and get us out of here too. But what did the criminal who repented, what did he say? He didn't even ask for Jesus to save him right then. Like he starts to believe in Jesus already. He didn't even say, hey, could you think you could get me off this cross real quick? I mean, I believe you and I love you and everything now. I mean, now that we're cool, you think you could like bless me in an awesome way like that? That would be so great. Oh, what a testimony I have. He didn't say anything like that. Man, what did he say? He's like, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He said, I accept the circumstances and whatever's going on, and I'll just do the best I can with what I've got, and I'll be part of your kingdom. Lord, my main concern is, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Lord, I want to be with you when I get there. And oh man, it's sort of like, I look up to the guy. I almost wish I could be more like that guy sometimes. Sometimes I just, you know, it's just a struggle. I feel like I pray for my own comfort so much sometimes, right? Common scene. Youth group gathers to go on a field trip. Okay, everybody gets outside the bus. Okay, mom and dad are there, and they'll join around, and they get, okay, let's pray. And it's like 10 minutes of praying for safety, right? Man, what if it were like 10 minutes of like, Lord, wherever they're going, use this youth group in an awesome way, whatever you have for them, where they're going. Like today we prayed for Angie's worship team. They're going to go to DC, and she's like, pray that whatever God wants to do with us, that we would do it, and we would fulfill what he has for us. And man, that's my prayer for every truly converted person, that they would have their main concern, Lord God, I want to be with you and across the finish line and run the race as hard as I can and give you my all. And when someone is truly converted, man, their love for Jesus is above all those other things. Man, I would still like to be off the cross sometimes. Sometimes it would be nice, but my main concern would always be, Lord, I want to cross the finish line with you. So here's the challenge this week as you get home. So every single person that you run into tomorrow, would you think of how much Jesus values them? Consider how much you value them. Is there a gap? And sometimes people make us mad. We're upset. And I feel like, oh, you know what? The way I feel about them right now is not how the Lord feels about them, even though he sinned or she has sinned against him too. Jesus still loves them immensely. And secondly, humbly look for true conversion evidence in your life and in others. Reach out and encourage people and take an active interest. For example, one thing that's simple is we have the Easter invite cards on the table over there. And if someone's lost, maybe you have a friend, maybe it's just hard to talk about it, an easy thing to do would just be take an interest in their eternity and just invite them to church. And if they say no, it's okay. But to care about people enough to just keep reaching out and reaching out and have a lifestyle of reaching others around us for Christ. Amen? Would you guys like some pizza? All right, would you stand with me and we'll pray. Hey, you want to? Let's do a song. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, God, thank you so much, Lord, for God, that there is hope until the very last breath. When our loved ones are not well, when we have a friend that we think they're just so far gone, Lord, how could it ever be? How could they ever get to you from where they're at, Lord God? Help us just to remember this guy on the cross, this guy that was probably a bad dude his whole life. But you use the situation, you use where he was at, and Lord, he found forgiveness in you. Someday we can actually meet this guy in heaven, Lord God, because of what you have done. Lord God, I pray that you give everyone here hope and courage, Lord God, to love their neighbors around them, love those at work and at school. That's a vulnerable thing, Lord God, for us to love people because we can get hurt. But Lord, I pray you just give us the courage to do that. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing here at Indian Lake. Lord, I pray that you be with Kristen and her daughter, Lord, and everything that's going on in their lives. We probably have just no idea everything that's going on. Thank you for just the gift of her presence today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.